All right, I'm on an extremely simple mission today. I just got off the train at Astor Place, and I'm going to see if I can walk to Union Square without getting lost. Anyone who knows New York, that is fucking sad that I'm not sure if I'm going to make it or not. But I just cannot wrap my head around New York. Goddamn year I've been here, I still don't know where the fuck anything is. East Village especially, it's like all these places, like, when I walk around on my own, it's shocking. It's like, wait, this is here, and that's like down the street from this, and that's over this place, and all these places I've been to, and they're just like, they could be on different goddamn planets for all I know. But it turns out they're all right there. I just know nothing. So I've kind of given up hope that I'm gonna learn. Fuck it, who gives a shit? So my MP3 player, usually what I do when I do these shows is I talk a bit about a song, and then I play it, and then I listen to it. And then sometimes that spurs me on to remember other things about it. But my MP3 player is almost dead. Battery's real low. And there's nothing on it anyway. It's just, it's all stuff I've played before. Because once I get my like little playlist, it tends to be pretty exacting. And, yeah, it's like if I had a weekly show, like a countdown or something, man, you guys would hear the same fucking songs every week. Every week with minor variations. The shit I would just play again and again and again and again for months and months and months on end. So, instead of what I'm gonna do today, I'm using the Zoom, by the way. I figured out how to fix it. I was having all these sound problems with this thing because I don't have the, like, the wind screen that goes on top. You just take one of those little stretchy gloves that you buy for 99 cents. Stretch that shit over top of it. Sure, you could use a sock or something, too. Totally fixes it. Works fine now. So, what I'm gonna do... Man, isn't it criminal how churches look so cool? So many big, cool churches, and it's, like, such a goddamn waste. I'm gonna just come up with songs that I want to listen to. If I were at home, if I could just listen to whatever I wanted to, what would I listen to? Well, not even that, because then it would still be different stuff. So just as I walk down the street, what occurs to me? And the first one that I just thought of on the subway is Pennywise. It's been a little while since I've done this. There's a lot of people out today, despite the fucking terrifying cold of New York. Feeling a little odd talking to myself. Alright, Pennywise. I'm not incredibly familiar with Pennywise. A lot of their albums kind of wash right over me because, you know, it sort of sounds like the same thing again and again. But they got this song called Homesick that, honestly, if I was to try to sing it to myself right now, I don't really remember how it goes. I can't remember the melody. It's been forever since I heard this song. I just always remember really liking it. It's just about this dude's old neighborhood that's all fucked up now. So let's listen to some Pennywise, shall we? Another church. How many fucking churches? Christ. I walk down my street, you see me home in the end. Now there's bright light on the walls. I see a house that at one time was nice, but now it is abandoned. There's nothing left at all. So I must mean that our chances fly. And when oh, will we ever see home again? And I, is it so hard to say goodbye? Oh, well, at least I can still remember when. It used to be such a beautiful place. But now you can't walk down the street and think no to say. My hands are in the air. I remembered how it goes. Why, yeah, 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 we had to send an eye. And when, where's the hope again? So, don't buy Duane Reade brand batteries is what I've found. If you're in Canada and you're at a Shoppers Drug Mart, you're probably pretty safe. Or even, like, Walmart brand batteries and shit. You know, I mean, I know very well you shouldn't just blow money on batteries, you know, unless you, like, good batteries are worth it. That's what I'm trying to say. But I bought these fruity-ass Duane Reade brand batteries, and they just instantly sucked. They just could not function. They instantly gave me a low power warning. So, I was going to record some ham radio shit earlier, and I didn't. So this time...
And the world is deprived.
Exactly. It was really going nowhere. I was feeling... I don't know. I was feeling spacey and not together anyway. And I was just randomly walking around talking to myself for no good reason. Well, I guess that's what I always do.
You'd probably do that whether you had a recording device or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I have noticed, though, I think that I don't know which way we're going.
I was leading us wrong.
The proliferation of Blackberries and crazy homeless people have made me talking to myself seem less weird in general.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially here in New York, you could do pretty much anything, and nobody's going to call you out on it.
Yeah. So I was going to go all out and get, like, digital brand batteries, like, specifically made for digital shit, because the Zoom eats batteries like crazy. But instead, I got rechargeable batteries, which were, like, double the price, but it'll be better in the long run. So I don't know how long they'll last. But for now, we're good.
Yeah, you didn't even ask me if I was looking.
So I figure since I don't have any songs lined up, let's just ramble and I'll just put in songs later at random intervals.
Okay.
Because what I was doing earlier is I was just, or what my plan was before my batteries all died, was just to think of songs that I wished I could listen to because the battery on my MP3 player is almost dead.
Didn't you do that once already?
Maybe, probably.
You're like, I'm going to sing it in my head, dear listener.
There's just no way that we can win. That was a masterpiece.
Listen to me.
He rocks too hard because he's not a mortal man.
God damn it, Cage! He gonna make you his sex slave. You're gonna gargle mayonnaise.
No.
Unless we bust a massive monster mamma jam.
Dude, we've been through so much shit.
Deactivated lasers with my dick. Now it's time to blow this fucker down.
Come on, Cage, now it's time to blow doors down.
I hear your jables, now it's time to blow doors down.
Light up the stage, cause it's time for a showdown.
We'll bend you over, then we'll take it to Brown Town.
Now we got to blow this fucker down.
He's gonna rape me if we do not blow doors down.
Come on, Cage, you're coming with me! Taste my lightning, fucker!
No!
Oh, fuck! My fucking horn! Oh, no!
From whence you came, you shall remain until you are complete again!
No! You, Jables! I'll get you, Tenacious D!
Well, just so you know, I have my, you know, brand new iTouch, and I do happen to have a lot of good music.
Yeah, so you're now a proud owner of the future.
I am. The future is in my hand.
Yeah.
Literally, allowing me to watch Family Guy episodes on the train.
So today was your first day watching television on your way to work. How was that?
It was great. I watched Bernie, which is adorable, and you know,
Bernie being the Wall-E spinoff, right?
Yeah, the short film that Pixar included in the DVD. Watch that. Watch some Family Guy. Laugh to myself. And actually, at one point, I was sitting down and I giggled at something funny Peter did, I'm sure. And the guy next to me, like, kind of started and looked at me, and then he looked at me and he's like, "Oh, yeah." Like, it's just okay now. You just.
At least he didn't take the opportunity to be like, "I love when beautiful, sexy women are laughing on the train. You're a sexy mama."
Yeah, I lucked out with that one.
Do you get less of that now that it's cold outside and you're wearing more clothes? Not that you usually walk around in thongs or anything, but.
No, definitely. Like, the worst time for that shit was when it was just starting to get cold, but you could still get away with wearing, like, a skirt and no stockings and, like, some boots because it wasn't too cold yet. But everyone was usually bundled up. But, man, if you wore a skirt or you wore something that, like, didn't cover all of your skin, it was like everyone would stare at you and every dude was like, hey. It was like, okay, I can walk down the street in a miniskirt in the summer and I'll get attention, but not as much as when I'm, you know, wearing a knee-length skirt in October.
Well, I was going to say, you remember the day of the mermaid parade? That day, you really were very scantily clad, but it was a mermaid parade, and, I mean, people still noticed, but nobody really catcalled. It sort of,
yeah,
you know.
Until the parade was over, and we all went our separate directions, and I went to go have dinner with a friend.
Oh, right, and then you didn't come home until, like, hours later when it was no longer the mermaid parade?
Yeah, people were giving me the side eye a little. It definitely, while it makes sense to be covered in glitter and wearing 4 inches of fabric as a skirt at the mermaid parade, 6 hours later when it's 10 o'clock in the East Village, you look more like a prostitute.
remember that day of the mermaid parade. That was right in the dead of summer. It was really hot out. Like, really hot. And I was dying.
Shirt around your neck like a redneck. You're like, baby, let me use your shirt so I don't get sunburned on the back of my shoulders.
Well, I do. I get burned really, really easy. I have delicate, fair skin. And, I don't know, I always thought living in Canada, I was like, man, I'm, like, skinny. I'm not supposed to live here. This is fucked up. But then, like, the summer in New York is so humid and just so hot. It was murdering me. Like, I just cannot survive that.
It was not bad. It was great, actually. It was wonderful. That humidity just makes me feel alive. Like, it makes all the membranes in my body feel the way they're supposed to.
And, see, that's the point I'm getting at, is where'd you grow up?
Florida.
Right. What do you guys, what's normal attire for, like, go to the supermarket in the summer?
Bikini top and a pair of cloth shorts. Some flip-flops.
See, so you definitely have powers I don't have, because, like, that heat was just murdering me. Now we're on the other side of the coin. What temperature is it in your quaint Fahrenheit today?
It's 16 degrees.
And wasn't it less earlier?
No, that was it this morning. I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels about the same, so I'm going to go with 16 degrees. Oh, what is it in Celsius?
Yeah, I don't know. -7 or
like
something, didn't you say, right?
-7, yeah.
That's pretty fucking cold.
It's pretty fucking cold. I can't feel my toes right now.
Yeah. I mean, right at this second, it doesn't seem that cold. It was really cold, like, yesterday.
It's fucking cold. My face hurts. It's so cold.
Right now?
Yes.
Wow. See, right, as long as there's not wind, I can feel it in my fingers. My fingers hurt a little bit.
I feel like I have brain freeze just from breathing.
Right.
Like, I have a really throbbing headache just from pulling air in through my nose.
Because, see, this is where Canada has kind of served me a little bit more well than I realized, because, I don't know, in Vancouver, I totally would just walk around in a t-shirt for months longer than other people did, because I was way more acclimated to horrible weather. And even though I became a big Vancouver wuss and got all used to that, it's still serving me pretty well here in New York. Like, I don't know, I do feel like I have this, like, minor superpower that I didn't know I had. So I guess that's the whole thing.
I know how to chill at the beach all day.
Right,
so.
And I don't, so that's... So I'm just saying, I'm learning about regionality.
Climb the mountain with your fingertips. Right hand strumming while the left hand grips. Broken fingers turn to broken dreams. Nobody splits until the heck screams. Now
So I just got the low battery warning, and I'm hoping that's because I just haven't charged these. Like, maybe they show up not all the way charged. But I think this Zoom thing is fucking nuts. It eats batteries so fast. So it could stop recording at any moment. But I just wanted to ask you, I don't know, what would be your thoughts of, what if right now, what if I could just wave a magic wand and you would be naked and then I push you in a snowbank?
Even just thinking about that makes, like, makes my mouth water with violence. What do you know what I mean?
What if I had a handful of ice cubes and I could just run them up your back right now?
Yeah, stop. Can't even think. I would punch you. I would punch you in your face. If you... No.
So yeah, that was our first set of batteries down. That didn't last very long.
Piece of shit batteries.
Yeah, and I figured out how to finally make this thing work after all those shows I did where the wind kept being way too loud. You just take a little stretchy glove, little 99-cent ones, and you just stretch it over top. Or a sock or something would work too. So I was saying he looks like a little raver. That's what my idea of a raver is, like a funny hat on something.
Yeah, he just needs a pacifier and some candy around his neck.
Well, now I wonder if this thing just confuses people about what I'm holding. Because it used to look like a taser, and I think that scared people away. Like,
you know, honestly, I was noticing, I feel kind of like... kind of cool, like we're celebrities here, like people keep looking at us like, what are those guys doing? And we're, you know, you're talking in your podcast voice and I'm responding to you and we're talking into this strange device and people are like, those guys must be part of a travel show.
Do I have a podcast voice?
You do.
It's just that I talk louder. Is that what's the difference?
Yeah, you talk louder, you talk a lot more expressively, you sound happier,
right? So it's not like how earlier I'm like, you ever look out of the skyline of fucking New York City and it just looks like giant eyes in the sky and
it's
like giant teeth.
Gaping maw that's just gonna, it's not gonna bite you, but it's there.
You know it's there. You know it could. You can never feel comfortable, man. Never.
And then that single tear rolled down your cheek. That was so sad.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
So we just ran for the train and we actually made it.
And you know what's amazing? It's like literally I cannot feel my feet right now.
Why? Because of the cold or from the running?
No, because they're so cold. When I was running, I felt like...
See, you're just...
Rubber stubs. Seriously, like false legs.
Is my nose cold?
Yes.
See, I guess that's the difference. I know I'm cold, but you just learn to ignore it.
I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore when I feel like literally I'm running on dead flesh.
Yeah.
Below my knees.
What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing shitty shoes.
Oh, it's like, yeah, see, they're not even covering your whole foot.
No, that's because women's shoes don't cover our whole feet.
Right. Yeah. I guess I can see how that's kind of, yeah, worse than, like, I'm wearing my giant moon boots.
Yeah, I mean, I've got stockings. I've got sweater stockings on and socks, but they're thin socks because I'm at work, you know. Not good.
Yeah. Well, congrats on that running. You ran really fast.
Did I?
I only ran a little bit fast, and I still raced you here, but still pretty impressive.
Well, you're like a gazelle.
Yeah. This is like my test. I don't know if we're going to... So now we're talking quieter, because we're on a train. See if it picks up.
Yeah.
I think it will. I like these ambient noises anyway in podcasts. I like hearing the world around you, us.
The train?
Yeah, it's cool.
Should we describe the beautiful skyline? Shitty Brooklyn?
Yeah, it looks like a giant fucking toothy fucking evil grin. That's what it looks like. Still amazes me, like this iPod Touch shit, where I always thought they should have TVs on the train, and kind of that's what you have. It's just like I know I said this to you before, but like it's like just like a little business card. It's so small, just in your hand, and you just look at it, and just watch TV.
And the picture's great.
Yep.
And hearing it in stereo is actually even better than hearing it on your TV, because like Stewie comes in from the other room. He's talking to my left ear. He's not talking to my right ear.
Right. And, yeah, like the Keeping the Girl TV we tested. Because it's, like, double resolution. Like, it's 640 by 480, and it gets shrunk down for the iPod.
Clear.
So it looks really good, yeah. I was shocked how good it looked, because most of those are just filmed with my shitty camera.
Thanks, Mom. Because I never would have bought it on my own.
Yeah, I really should get one. I really should. I have all this rent money that Newsy paid me sitting in my house. It feels like it's free.
Be careful with that.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to have cash laying around the house. Just boop, boop, boop. It's all gone.
Right up your nose. Just gone. Or in my case, up the ass. Fancy dildos. I've been thinking a lot about those fancy dildos we were looking at the other day.
Oh, yeah?
I think I'm just going to go into the store and get one everything. There's nothing there I didn't like.
You thought they were a little fruity.
Yeah. The store in general, yeah, I thought it was a little much.
It's because it's geared towards women, and you got to make it fun, you know?
There was a store like that in Vancouver. I lived near it, but I never went inside. Its logo was just like a really kind of big fat woman. She's just like frolicking.
With like dildos, like sprouting up around her.
Yeah, you could see them. They wasn't in the picture, but somehow you could just see those. I was saying how the porn store I worked at, it was very nice. It was very high-end. Like, we had a guy who worked at one of the places on the Granville Strip, which is just awful. Although I heard that they're slowly not renewing everyone's rent, so that by the time the Olympics hit in 2010, a lot of those porn stores will be gone from that strip. But, yeah, that guy is like, they had jerk-off booths. And he said that homeless guys would go in and take shits, not just on the floor, in the jerk-off booth. So they had, like, on the wall, like, the don't let these people in faces.
Ah.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
Even before you said the shit thing, I was thinking, like, how awful is your job when you have to clean up the jerk-off booth?
Yeah. So we didn't have that, although we did still have, like, guys that would kind of come in and play with themselves through their loose sweatpants and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. But,
Now, tell me if I'm accurate in this. When I was younger, I used to like to go into porn stores a lot. When I was, like, 15, I'd go in when I was, you know, like, Beau and I. Beau's my best friend from back home. And I always felt like when I was in there and there were men in there, that they would look at me and they'd look at the porn and then that was me in that porn, you know? Like, they were, whatever they were thinking, that was, they were thinking about me right then. Like,
probably to an extent, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because I've been to porn stores before, but not that often.
You worked in one for years.
Yeah, but that's a very different situation. Like how when I worked at the porn store, I mean, the comic store, I never felt like I was a comics nerd. I mean, I was.
You were a king comics nerd.
But it's the thing. It's like, I'm here because I'm getting paid. I'm not here because I'm a sad, sad person with nowhere else to go.
That's true.
Like, if I wasn't getting paid, I wouldn't be there all day. And it was kind of like that at the porn store. It's like, there's a definite difference between working there and being a patron.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. Why not? Yeah.
It just always skeeved me out.
Yeah. and throw some stones. I asked if we could be alone. I had some troubles of my own. Knew I had to say goodbye to all the old things held inside. If I let the moment fly, I knew they'd all be magnified. And it feels alright. And it feels alright. Came around after dark, you are nothing but a lark. Though I snuck in like an ark, I knew I had to leave my mark. Wanted to be satisfied, I tried to be dignified. Wearing nothing is divine, naked is a state of mind. And it feels alright. And it feels alright.
Yeah, so I cannot fucking believe how fast this thing eats batteries. It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, that was silly. That was like a joke.
I mean, I guess this is like fancy pants. Like, it is really, it's like professional. This fucking bullshit thing was like $400 or something. Keith and Hemd bought it. And you're supposed to use it to record bands and things. And it even has like a built-in 4-track. I don't really know how it works, but like you can make your own demos. Like, you know, you record the drums and then over top of those you record your guitar. You can do the whole thing on this Zoom.
Really?
Yeah. So it really is maybe a little too fancy for what I use it for. I'm mostly going to stick with the DV cam. But it does sound kind of nice.
I have to wonder, do they have like special $20 batteries that have super duper powers that...
I don't know. Maybe that's part of why the DV cams work better, is they do have their own, those big block batteries. And this just takes double A's. And under even your best case scenario, it does not seem like the double A's last very long in this motherfucker.
There must be, like, professional-grade batteries or something that last for 30 hours in regular things and...
I don't know.
Two hours in this bullshit.
But, I mean, I guess if you're really on a professional situation, you probably have a wall you can plug it into. You're probably in a studio or something.
That's true.
I don't know. Anyway, Zoom got its ups and downs. So I was talking about porn store shit. I can get back into that. But I was just thinking how... I was reading about Logan's Run that we watched yesterday.
Good movie for the first 45 minutes.
Although even then, it didn't make sense. And it's like, if you hear a noise in the background, it's the little cats in this room playing with the big cat in the next room, but all they can do is bang into the door.
It's the big cat bangs on the door to get in, and the little cats just tease them, stick their little paws under.
That was kind of contributing to my lack of sleep today, too. Is that what's going on a little?
Well, and it's mostly because Gary's just a fat ass and wants to eat their food.
Yeah. So, yeah, Logan's Run, like, yeah, like, we started losing track of what was happening. So we jumped on Wikipedia for the synopsis and made it obvious that everyone lost track of what was happening, including the people that made that movie. So it's all right that we lost track. Apparently, Ross mentioned it in Friends. And he said it was the sexiest movie ever made.
It was pretty fucking sexy. The whole time, I just kept staring at all these tits. It's like all the women are wearing silky tunics with no bras, and they all have big boobs, and you can just see their boobs. I mean, the outline, of course, not really. But I was just imagining what it'd be like to be a 13-year-old boy in 1978, seeing that movie in theaters, just being like, 76.
Pre-Star Wars.
Fucking popping chubbies left and right, jizzing in your pants.
I noticed a lot of, like, panty shots, too. A lot of, like, girls slumping down on couches or falling down during action sequences. You can see up their skirts.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I thought was weird, is that there's this cyborg guy who freezes people. And apparently there's a deleted scene they cut where he makes like a frozen diorama of the guy and the main chick, but they're like in an embrace, naked, and they would have got an R rating if they left that in. And I was like, they didn't get an R rating? There's tits in that movie. Like, 70s were weird.
Back in the day, that was not enough for an R rating. Like, the things have been really skewed now. Like, violence got you an R rating, but tits didn't.
It's still like that in Canada. We have a different rating system. But yeah, it's weird to think that the U.S. used to be more on that side of things. Like,
yeah, instead of being these weird puritanical, parades that we have now.
Yeah, we have shit like, it's called like 14A or something instead of PG-13. It's very similar.
Well, do you remember when we were kids, like kids' movies would have the word shit in them, you know? Or like... You know, or somebody's butt, or some boobs, or something. You know, somebody's shirt fell off. Like, those are kids' movies. But they acknowledged that we weren't fucking... I don't know.
Yeah, remember that one where all those kids went to Mars, and then there was all those, like, four-titted blue alien chicks that gave blowjobs?
I miss that one.
I might have fallen asleep halfway through that movie, actually. Maybe that didn't happen.
But. When those kids are in space camp, and then they went up into the sky, and then they all had sex with each other. That was awesome.
The space chimps.
Oh, I'm going to go beat the shit out of this cat. Hold on. Yeah. Hold that.
Yeah.
So yeah, Logan's Run, at least the first bit of it, was cool.
And then yeah, very cool. Like very, I want to live in a utopian world where everyone's young and beautiful and they have sex circuits and people just go to love clubs and the air is full of drugs and
wouldn't
orgies.
That be, though, such an empty life?
You know, it's not like their lives were without meaning. I guess they didn't have to, like, make anything. You know, they didn't have to work.
Well, that kind of reminds me of, like, Ayn Rand, you know, who you were named after. She had a whole essay about that shit, about, like, it didn't directly reference Star Trek, but, like, in Star Trek, that's the idea, is kind of everything is, like, this socialist utopia because everything has been figured out, and it's people that are off doing this adventure shit don't have to do that. They're just bored. And her thing was about how, like, that doesn't make fucking sense. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, can you really envision this world full of these people that were so smart that they invented all of these devices to make their lives so easy, and now they're just lazy hippies and they just lay around and do nothing? Like, that's counter. But to get there, you have to be the type that would continue and would want to keep progressing and wouldn't want to just lay around and do nothing.
That does make sense, yes.
But I guess it's obvious in the Logan's Run world that somebody else set that shit up, set that ball in motion, and they're all dead now.
Yeah, and it's just the kids are cattle.
Right.
Continuing on.
But, yeah, even though that movie was, like, overall, I wouldn't say it was a good movie. It really fucking got boring and long.
Got really boring. At the end, we're like, wait, you live with one person for love?
Right.
That is wife?
And that, like, I don't know, Star Wars is so overblown that it's hard to give a fuck about it, but then you think, like, that movie came out a year before, and, like, when you put Star Wars in context, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, Logan's Run, like that diorama, like, of the city.
Yeah, the opening is, like, fake plastic little miniature models. Like, you can tell with, like, little zip cars going in between on lines, and it's just, oh.
And that robot guy who was just, like... Like, it's just like they took a big box and put it over him with mirrors on it. Mm-hmm. And then he stumbles around and talks silly. But even that movie, this is just like, this is where all the story's leading, is I was reading about Logan's Run and about old-timey nerds, how at science fiction conventions back in the day, they'd have, like, the Logan's Run fans that would do runs, where some of them would dress like the Sandmen who have to come catch you, and the rest would dress in those wacky, flowy, revealing clothes. Yeah, and the Sandmen would chase the other guys, and it's just like you're grown up, but you're playing tag, and you're dressed like you're in Logan's Run.
Do you ever, I don't know if they have this in Canada, but there was this thing where, like, nerd groups would get together, like on our campus. They would do it on the main green, and they would have, like, foam swords.
Yeah.
And they'd have giant sword fights.
Actually, my brother was huge into that, and my friend Matt that you met, he used to play that shit too.
Oh, I could totally see Matt doing that.
For us, it wasn't in public. It was called Nero, the New England role-playing organization. Mm-hmm. And they'd go out into the woods and stuff, but yeah, I only did it one time and it wasn't really my thing. But yeah, they had, like, characters and the foam swords and the shields, and they'd run little adventures and have little stories, and mostly it was just an excuse to fuck around in the woods all weekend. But, and, like, for magic spells, they would have, like, little bags of birdseed, and you throw them, and the only one I remember is it, like, freezes you, and you have to say, "With mystic force, I pin you," and throw the little bird of bag seed, bag of bird seed, and if it hits the person, he's frozen for, like, 15 seconds or whatever.
What does it say about me that I want to go to one of these and be their queen?
Wow. See, I think that's a plus, because the only other girl I ever described this to, because I was looking for a picture of my brother, and that's the only one I could find online, was him with the shit, and she just died laughing. She thought it was the most pathetic thing in the world.
I mean, it's kind of silly when you watch him. I remember the first time I saw it, like, there's some big fat kid who had a really long sword, and he was, like, running, and then he fell to his knees and, like, swooped his sword up both directions, and people were falling. And I was like, oh my god, that is the lamest thing I've ever seen. But, like, if you're in it, if you're doing it, and you believe in it, and
that's the thing, is they'd come home with these fucking swashbuckling stories of all the shit they did, and to hear it was extremely exciting, but to actually do it, I just couldn't. It wasn't my thing.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd I'd respond. I just want to be their queen.
Well, yeah, I remember Matt, and Matt's kind of a bigger guy, and he doesn't really, he's not that active generally, but he'd be telling me about, like, running for his life through the woods from some fucking death knights or something, and just, like, or how he, like, hid in the bushes and just, like, and they couldn't find him, and his heart's thumping, and it sounded fun and exciting. It's like,
we don't have warfare anymore. Our kids have to make it up.
A lot of these guys played paintball, too, so I think it is, this is, like, medieval paintball, kind of, but way more elaborate.
Did you ever play Capture the Flag?
Not really much.
Yeah.
No.
See, that was like that was the same kind of deal. It's like, it's warfare. We do it in camp all the time, you know, and you got to climb trees and
right.
You'd have, you know, your own little kind of paint sponges or whatever to throw at people. We want a reason to live, you know.
Right.
I once had somebody say something to me, like, I was telling some chick I worked with about my grandma and, like, how, you know, she lived through the wars, blah blah blah, and she said something like, it must be easier to make decisions when there's a gun at the back of your head.
And I don't know what the fuck does that mean.
like you don't, you know, your life is just more important, you know, like, or not even more important, it's that you don't have choices. You either do this or you do this other thing, you know, and one of them might get you killed. I don't know
if
you need that impetus.
To me, that kind of sounds like, I don't know, like when I watch, like, Celebrity Rehab, and in a weird way, it seems like that would be an easier life. Like, then you've only got this one problem that's well-defined, and they're there to help you. But then it's not really how it works, because you fix that problem, and all the normal problems are still there.
Yeah, which you haven't been dealing with for 10 years, because you've been a junkie, alcoholic piece of shit.
Right.
The same disease that everybody's got these days. I don't wanna live that way. I do not wanna live in pain. So take your parasites away and keep them somewhere far from me. 'Cause I don't want the same disease that everybody's got these days. I don't wanna live that way. I do not wanna live in pain. Another fool in history. I tell you what it means to me. It's nothing but lobotomy. It's nothing but an angry sea striking away. Away with me. Oh, with me. It's coming like a big freight train. It's been like a wild flame. You know it's coming. Another fool in history. I tell you what it means to me. It's nothing but lobotomy. It's nothing but an angry sea striking away.
But the runners and the Logan's Run thing, that also, I heard that there were Victorian nerds. Like how when Superman supposedly died in 1994, and then of course he came back, but there was this whole big storyline in comic books. It was in the news and everything that Superman was dead. So there were people walking around with like black armbands with the Superman symbol on it. Apparently they did that when Sherlock Holmes died in one of the books. There were Victorian nerds walking around with black armbands for Sherlock Holmes. So like they've always existed. I just think that's amazing. That you give people a way to be nerdy. Did you ever hear about this? I read about this somewhere, that there's this Victorian fashion that's not well known because it just hasn't been in movies. And our only sense of the past is movies. There was this thing, mouse hair eyebrows, where they would glue mouse hair to their eyebrows. So they had these huge, thick, bushy mouse hair eyebrows. And apparently it was really in fashion for a while.
No, I never heard that.
But now when you watch Age of Innocence, Winona Ryder doesn't have any mouse hair on her eyebrows, so nobody knows that. But apparently it really happened.
Women did that?
Everybody did, as far as I know. Or maybe it was just gentlemen. I don't know. It was...
kind of puts in perspective, like, all the shit that we find attractive now. Like, are we going to be the mouse hair eyebrows?
Yeah,
is that exactly what belly rings are going to be?
But even shit like how in, like, Blazing Saddles, the big joke is that the dude's a black cowboy. There was a shitload of black cowboys, but they're not in movies. You know, the no John Wayne movies had no black cowboys. They're, like, you know, Indian cowboys. But since it's not in a movie, we don't know that's how it was.
Yeah, we don't learn history anymore.
Right. Meanwhile, we got Raquel Welch running around with dinosaurs. That never happened.
She's Mexican. Did you know that?
Who, Raquel Welch?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, half Mexican.
Wow.
Yeah, she's hot. She's.
I was going to say, I used to think she was so hot. Racism. Sci-fi nerds too. That show Firefly, I was really liked it a lot. And it was like space cowboys, you know. It's like it's in the future, but it's on the very edges of. It's like Star Trek world, but if you don't like to live under the weird, oppressive Star Trek world, you go live way out on the edge of the universe where everything sucks balls again. Like, you know, it's like the old West again because no one has any money.
People want things to suck balls. They want war. They want.
They just
want to
be. They just want to be free. They don't want to be under the boot of nobody ever again, no matter what the price. Space cowboys. But as much as I like that show, there's the main guy in it, he was called a brown coat. That was the name for the rebels. It's like a retelling of the Civil War in the future. So he was on the South side. It was like, it's trying to explain how the South wasn't necessarily just about racism. You know, that wanting to not be under a union was part of it too.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I guess you are a little Southern, right? So Tallahassee! Yeehaw! Do you have a lot of Union Jacks all over the place?
Not Union Jacks. That would be British people.
Right. What's that called? The Rebel Flag?
The Rebel Flag, yeah.
Is that just what it's called?
Stars and Bars.
No.
Duke
Boys?
Not so much in Tallahassee. I mean, there is. Tallahassee is a de facto segregated town. We still have a white college and a black college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
officially, or just that's how the...
Officially.
Really?
I mean, black
people... Is
that
even legal?
Black people can go to the white college, but there is the black college that is all black. I took a couple classes at the black college, and I stopped.
Did you know it was the black college? Were you trying to be brave?
No, I knew it was the black college, but they had the journalism school, and I wanted to take journalism classes. And A, the professors called me white girl. And B, this sounds awful... I couldn't understand what they were saying half the time.
Yeah, I believe it. Did you ever see that clip that's floating around on YouTube of this guy out in the country somewhere, and he's talking very... It's like exactly like when Dave Chappelle does his white character. The guy was talking like that, and then the blah, 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 and then a bug flies in his mouth, and suddenly he's fucking Chris Tucker. Like, what the shit? What are you doing in this fucking... out in the middle of nowhere? This is bullshit, man!
Well, it was like, you know, like the these are professors and educated young people, very educated, well, not very educated because they're still in college, but ostensibly intelligent people. And it was like, it became like this code. Like, I couldn't crack it. It was Southern black dialect, and it was just, it became difficult. And I just gave up.
That's like, I listened to this university lecture this guy did about...
And I'm not racist. I mean, I'm even from Florida.
That just makes it worse. Don't
say
that.
I know. I just want... How do you explain, though, that I'm not...
Well, let me. What I was going to say maybe will help. More than the desperate plea is that I listened to this lecture series about the evolution of spoken language. And, you know, it was this white guy, and he was, like, huge into languages. That was his whole thing. And I listened to, like, it's like a 40-part lecture series. Each one was, like, 40 minutes. But it was fascinating. I listened to the whole fucking thing up in the projection booth. It was, like, that place was, like, my university education, working in the projection booth, listening to the teaching company shit that I downloaded for free. But he had a show about what he just called black English, because Ebonics just sounds fucking somehow offensive. But
because it's ebony.
Right. And he was explaining how within its own sphere, it's a different way of speaking, but it's not incorrect. It just has its own rules. Like, they will say, I be going to the store, instead of I'm going to the store. Technically, I guess that's wrong, but if you always say it that way and everyone follows that, that it just becomes, it's called the pidgin language.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so that's basically what it is. But he was telling this story when he was in college 20 years ago or whatever, and he's all about languages and always was. And he heard these two black guys talking, and he assumed it was like Jamaican or they're from Haiti or just some other language. And he asked them just like, hey, what was that language? What are you guys talking? And they looked at him like he was fucking nuts because it was English. They were talking English. But unless you listen real hard, just if you're just passing by, it sounds like a whole different language.
Well, that's the part that got me. It's like, if they were talking to me, they spoke like me, you know. But in the closed environment, they didn't have to.
Right.
And now, and it had its own rules.
That kind of reminds me of, my mom tried to read me when I was a kid, what was it, Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn?
Yeah.
We never
she
finished
couldn't
it.
Do the voice.
Yeah, what's his name? N-word Jim, they say.
Jim.
In Family Guy. And, yeah, like, well, all of his stuff is written out, like, phonetically. Mm-hmm. So one of them was shit to do, but to do wasn't quite shit. And it just cracked up my mom because she just said shit a bunch of times to her little kid. But then we really had to sit down and try to sort out by context clues what it was. And it was shut the door, but the door wasn't quite shut. You know, he told me shit to do, but to do wasn't quite shit. And it was like, what the fuck is that? And I mean, that's more of an extreme example because that's back in the days of N-word Jim. But.
N-word Jim. When you couldn't teach N-word Jim to read because N-word Jim wasn't allowed to read.
I mean, I understand that there is a reality that there's just different speech patterns. It doesn't make you racist. It just makes...
But isn't that always the question? Does pointing out race make you racist?
Only if you're white.
Yeah, that's true. Take things off! Take things off! Take things off! Take things off! Blinks listens, yeah! They came off! And yeah! And they off! Vote what you want! We stifling fools! Vote what you want! Your life or your jewels! The rules! Back with that! Next thing! Back with that! Respect my way! Brooklyn! Bam! Like a slave, keep a rugged dress hold, always in this stress mode. That shit will send you to your grave. So, you think I don't know that? Blah. Nigga, hold that. Nigga, hold that. Nigga, hold that. From the street, cousin, you know the drill. I'm 999 flies short of a mill. Hey, yeah, 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 fool. Hey, yeah. Kidnap that fool. It's the perfect timing. You see the man shining. Get up off them goddamn diamonds. Huh? Get him, get him, hit him, hit him, hit him, yeah, pump that boom. One of the more startling and humorous aspects of Tallahassee is that you could, the tallest building in the city was the Capitol building, which is also shaped like a cock and balls, and but that's another story. But you go up on the Capitol building and it's like 30 some odd flights, you know, not that tall by New York standards, but you go up and you can see all of Tallahassee and you can see where the black part of town starts. And it's literally across the railroad tracks.
Nice.
It is on the wrong side of the tracks. And you can just see there's like this line of demarcation where it's like the nice part of town and the shitty part of town where we let the black people live. It was really weird because it was also the capital of Florida. And the rest of Florida is not like that. But
Tallahassee is the capital?
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know that.
It shouldn't be because there's nothing there. The only thing that's there is the universities. It has three universities and the capital.
Do you think that's like, it might be like New Brunswick where I'm from. My town was the capital, but it's not the biggest one. It's just because the other two big cities, the two big cities constantly fought over who was supposed to be fucking capital. So somebody, you know, back in the day, probably drunken Johnny McDonald on a vomiting binge was like, Fredericton will be capital. Stop fighting. Now no one gets to be capital. You know? That's exactly what happened. So is that how Tallahassee got to be capital?
I wonder. I don't.
Miami and Tampa kept fighting or something?
Maybe because like the southern parts of Florida were like just all cracker country and agriculture. They didn't realize that they were going to grow and be so large and be so important when they were establishing things like this, you know, in like 1766 or whatever. And, you know, little old Tallahassee just never kind of went anywhere. And meanwhile, Orlando became the fucking hub. Tampa, you know. Nobody ever expects the Cubans, you know.
What's Tallahassee's big sports team that everyone knows?
The Seminoles.
Oh, there is one.
Oh. That's my university.
be a bit of a rambling talk.
Yeah. Should we intersperse this with music?
Oh, I will. I'll throw in songs here and again during this. But, yeah, so to go back, though, to the Browncoats and Firefly, just to finish that thought.
Yeah.
It was so the main guy in the show always wears, like, a duster, like, back in the Old West. So there's people that go to these science fiction conventions now who call themselves Browncoats and dress in the Old West duster. And like that show, like, how could you ever... That's just dumb.
Why is that any more dumb than dressing up like any other character?
I'd say it's significantly less dumb than dressing up like Darth Vader or something. But I guess that's the point, is that, you know, if you're a Star Wars nerd or a Logan's Runner, you know, you're pretty much out in your own fucking little world. But Firefly is so much more based on the practical realities of life that even their uniform is a very conservative, sensible, Old West outfit. It still doesn't make it any better to dress up that way because of a TV show, you know? It seems like that TV show should instill in one more sensible values. And apparently it doesn't. Science fiction fans are nuts, top to bottom.
They just want to be anywhere but here.
Right. Well, I mean, I've obviously got enough science fiction nerd in me that when I first moved to Vancouver, the fact that it's so Asian, one of the big parts of Firefly is...
You're like Blade Runner.
Well, Blade Runner surprised me when I finally saw it, because, yeah, it really is, like, apparently it was based on Los Angeles more.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the same, you know, it's... Vancouver is very similar. But one of the big things in Firefly is that it's, like, I don't know how long, 1,000 years in the future or something, and there's no aliens or any of that shit, it's just people. But it's just English. Basically, America and China converged, and it's all just one big mess now, so everybody talks Chinese and English. So then when I got to Vancouver, and, you know, you can get fucking toothpaste with Chinese writing on it, I was like, wow, it's just like Firefly. And in my own nerdy way, that kind of, like, I was like, this is really cool. Like, this trip's a little tough to move here on my own, but it's like, I'm in Firefly or something. This is, like, that's kind of fucking cool. But I'm still not going to dress up like an Old West guy and hang out with my Old West friends. I don't know, it's weird.
You should be steampunk. Those are definitely the coolest of the sci-fi nerds.
What is that? Isn't that the same thing, except you wear goggles and spike your hair?
You wear goggles and spike your hair, and you have you dress up all your newfangled gadgets because you have to have the cutting edge, but you, like, wrap them in wicker.
Right.
Or, like, brass tubing. Look at my brass tubing iPod carrier.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could probably get an iPod thing that makes it look like it's made out of wood or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it helps if you're black. Like, the coolest steampunks are the black kids.
Yeah.
Like Will Smith. Wild Wild West.
I really think Will Smith is a good actor. I like him.
I like Will Smith, too. I just don't like all his movies.
Yeah, I can't think of really any movie he's been in that I really liked.
I wouldn't call him a great actor. I'd say he's pleasant to watch.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know if he ever really stretches very hard.
Well, I think one thing I noticed in reviews of Hancock and I Am Legend, both movies that had severe faults of their own, but he doesn't flirt with the audience. He's not like, I'm Will Smith, I'm so charming. And it really helps. It makes him much more likable in a weird way.
Of course. When it's not pandering.
Yeah. Not like, I mean, Independence Day was a rollicking good time, but he punched an alien in the face.
Like, I fucking love that movie.
I do remember liking it. I just haven't seen it in ages. I don't remember it well enough. I gotta watch Men in Black again, because everyone always references the Unisphere by my house as the Men in Black thing. I hardly remember.
Yeah, it's because those, like, disc things, those were the alien spaceships, and I forget what the Unisphere was. But yeah, that's the first thing I thought when I saw it.
Yeah, everybody mentions that. I never remember.
I love Tommy Lee Jones. He's a great comedy actor because he's such a good straight man.
He wasn't so good as Two-Face.
What could you really do with that role? You know, he was going to be a cartoon no matter what.
That's actually true, because even in that new respectable Batman movie, it's Aaron Eckhart is Two-Face, and he plays it real straight, and it's just Two-Face is boring. Two-Face is fucking stupid. Yeah, you flip a coin to decide good or evil. That's dumb.
But at least Tommy Lee Jones had I got my nice side with my nice girl, and then my dark side with Debbie Mazar, you know? Or whoever the fuck.
Yeah, the more I think about it, Tommy Lee Jones was much better.
Yeah. So there. I mean, if you're going to do it, play it up. Be ridiculous. Have existential crises.
Do you think when they asked
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Do you want to ruin a franchise, Arnold?
That was so weird, too, because that dude, Mr. Freeze, he was always a skinny, bald guy. He was never beefy in the comic books. It made no sense for Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, I was going to say, as soon as Danny DeVito's agent got word, like, hey, Danny, yeah, they're going to do another Batman, he's just like, fuck, I'm going to be Penguin, aren't I? Like, I'm going to be the tiny, fat guy with flipper hands, aren't I? Fine, okay, I'll do it.
You know, I have a feeling Danny DeVito came to terms with his shortcomings and his appearance a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's making good money, and he gets to boink Rhea Perlman every night, so...
Is that really a bonus? The one Sam Malone could never land.
When the stars shine bright through the engine's trail and the dust of another world drops behind, when my ship is free of the open sky, it's a damn good day to my way of mind. There's a barren planet you never can leave. There's a rocky valley where we lost a war. There's a cross once hung round a soldier's neck. There's a man's faith died on Serenity's floor. I stood my ground and I'll fly once more. It's the last oath that I ever swore. So take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out into the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. The sky from me. You can't take the sky from me. When you see a man and he's standing alone, well, you might just take him for an easy mark. And there's many a man has tried his hand, and there's worse than wolves in the borderland dark. From the savage men to the government hounds, try to take what's yours and tear you through. Ah, but them that run with me's got my back. It's a fool, don't know that his family's his crew. Don't you tell me what I cannot do. Don't you think I've got to run from you. So take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out into the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. You can't take the sky from me. When you've walked my road and you've seen what I've seen, well, you won't go talking about righteous men. You'll know damn well why I want to keep to my sky, never cry neath nobody's heel again. I've seen torment rigged across innocent souls, seen sane men mad and good men die. I've been hounded, hated, married, and tricked. I've been tortured, cheated, shot, and died. You won't see no tears when I say goodbye. I still got my family and my firefly. So take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out into the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. You can't take the sky from me.
I'm going to ramble some more and play random music that I don't know. I'll put in later.
Are you going to like listen for keywords? And be like, ah, we're talking about sci-fi. Let's...
I don't think so. I think I'm going to do is like, I don't know, I find like when songs, the way most people write songs, you know, this Smashing Pumpkins method of just weird random shit that makes no sense, then you can just find meaning in it. So I think I'm just going to put songs in and see if they subconsciously or just by random coincidence have connection.
Wasn't that one of those tricks, like with any form of art or songwriting or anything, is if you are ambiguous enough,
right,
but self-important enough, people will attach whatever meaning they want to it, and that way it can be meaningful to everyone and you can be a god. Pink Floyd was really good at that.
Well, it doesn't bother me at all in music because I still think the main point of music is the actual music. But as far as like even just like poetry, which essentially is just song lyrics, I got no time for that. If it's not about something or the guy didn't know what it was about, or I don't give a fuck.
Well, there has to be an emotional truth behind it. I think, like, your emotion, that's the thing that you affect. That's what you dig into people or dig out of people, whatever. But their own importance, like, whether it applies to the fact that they're not friends with their best friend anymore, or, you know, that they suck at their job, or that they're lonely, you know, whatever it is to them, it can be that, but... It still makes them sad.
You know what's really awesome is I was listening to Brian Ward's podcast, and I can't remember the name of the band, but he's a guitar player, so he really doesn't give a fuck about lyrics. But so he's like, yeah, I'm going to play this song by this guy who apparently this album, he just broke up with his wife. This album, this isn't offensive, my Australian accent. He just broke up with his wife, and so a lot of these songs are about that. I heard him say that in an interview. I don't know. I really... Lyrics, I don't know. So and then he plays this song, and the song is like, why did you leave me so soon? Why didn't you give me more of a chance? It's like, really, Brian? You didn't even catch on to that at all. Like, you're just listening to the guitar. It was pretty great.
Doctor Patient.
I'm the doctor. I'm the patient. Don't forget that. It's important. If you love me, like I love me, everybody will be sorry. Well, I don't need nothing before the show. I don't need nothing, well, that's not so. I need something before the show. Just a little something to make me something before the show. Just a little something to make me go. Whoa, whoa. You never know what I want. Whoa, whoa. You never know what I want. Give me more. Give me more. Pretty please, a prescription. Give me more. Give me more. Pretty please, a prescription. I don't need no one. Screwing up my phone. Over the counter, fill that prescription.
the show. I don't need nothing, no, that's not so. I don't need nothing before the show. I don't need nothing, no, that's not so. I don't need nothing before the show. I don't need nothing, but that's not so. I need something before the show. Just a little something to make me
So I was talking about the porn store way back before my batteries died, because we went into a Fancy Pants vibrator store.
Can I say the name of it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Babes in Toyland.
Right.
It's like all for chicks and very dyke friendly, but yeah, like lesbian run and operated. It's great.
So it was a very, very obviously, yeah, girl friendly store.
Very pussy centric.
Right. Very nice, but like kind of. Gauche was the term I used. Just really colorful, like bright colors.
Well, that way it's not dark and creepy, and it's like, your pussy, it's fun. It's right. Pink, it's lime green.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess even that seems kind of weird to me. Like, the store I worked at, like I was saying, it was a higher-end store. It didn't have jerk-off boots. It didn't have homeless guys shitting in places. But it was just, like, really well-lit, really clean carpets, and just nice. And you go in, and the first bit of it is, like all the different toys and the outfits and the little games and stuff and like couple stuff. But what then made it weird is that the other 50% of the store or more was just row after row of movies. Like the place was huge and we just had like so many
movies.
And
what do
you
think you sold more of? Like the...
Definitely what kept the place going was absolutely just porn rentals.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the creepiest shit, you know? Like not full on creepy because... Vancouver had a lot of... British Columbia has a lot of rules about porn. A lot of stuff that we couldn't get. But more than creepy enough. Nothing that any woman would ever want to see. So it was a weird duality. That it was a very nice store, but the bread and butter of it was still gaping pussies and shit.
Mm.
Yeah. But then our manager, this punk chick named Rio, who came from Alberta, she was like, they have no rules there. It's weird. I didn't know Canada had those province-to-province differences. But yeah, they had... You name it, they had it. You know, they had, like, one specifically Red Wing porn, or people pissing on each other porn, and probably barf porn, all this whatever. And BC was way more restrictive.
Hmm.
Which was funny, because then there's stuff that they wouldn't directly just cut out. Like, my favorite example was, what are those movies called? I don't know, like, Gag on This, Throat Gaggers, that type of shit. And I remember specifically this one scene. This is when I finally clued in that they were really fucking shit up. Is it was like 2 minutes long. And the chick started off normal. And then by the end, mascara running down her face. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Because all I've seen is a man gently put his penis in her mouth. It doesn't make any sense at all.
You didn't see the part where he snapped her head back and fucked her.
Right. Well, then I went and looked it up online. And I managed to find that same scene. And downloaded it from somewhere. And I was like, wow, this thing is like 17 minutes long. Like, why didn't they just why didn't they just reject this whole movie? And then how extra weird is it that that's someone's job to watch that porn? And I guess you'd think if you got that job, you probably it's a government job.
Yeah.
So you're probably not just a weird porn fiend that would just really get into that. That's supposedly a legitimate job to ruin Throat Gaggers 5. Like, just get
rid
of it altogether.
They're not ruining it. They're protecting it.
Yeah, but, like, why even bother? Why not just cut that whole scene? So weird.
Why do they have a problem with Throat Gaggers? Like, why would...
Because it's, like, violence. You know, it's, like, violence against a woman. It's not... It definitely... Those things cross the line of, like... Or straddle the line of consensual. I mean, it's consensual, but... It's totally to one person using the other.
Yeah.
But it seems so weird to me that this... The British Columbia government has these pretensions of... Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't understand what the point of any of it is, what they really think they're accomplishing. The internet is out there. I went and downloaded it, you know? So, I don't know. It's weird.
Jesus, take my life from me. That drink upon the table.
So it was a nice place. And in some ways, like, I liked it better than, like, the store we went to because it just didn't seem so fruity and in your face. It was just kind of more, like...
Well, it has its place. Like, can you imagine going into that, like, convincing your maybe uptight girlfriend, you know, who's like, a little bit freaky but hasn't really explored a lot of things. Like, hey, let's go maybe get a little tiny, vibrating, pretty butt plug, you right. know? Like, that's the place you'd want to take her. So it's like, hey, this is fun.
I guess, but see, I guess, like, the thing... Yeah. And, like, if it wasn't for all the porn, though, in the place I worked, it just felt more grown up. You know, that place we were at, that felt like a 17-year-old bedroom.
But as a woman, a lot of the toys in a lot of the big boy stores, as you would, you know, as you're describing, those are not pleasurable, and they're not fun, and they're not geared towards me.
Well, we had everything, and we had a whole wall of stuff.
Yeah, but I've never, like, I've been in, trust me, in Florida, we have, like, the XTC Adult Supercenter that's, like, the fucking Publix of porn, which you don't have Publix, I guess it'd be... It's, like, gigantic, you know, it's another giant warehouse where it's, like, Swedish midget porn, aisle 7, you know, everything. And it's clean, and it's nice, and it's organized, and it's not creepy, it's, like, well-lit and everything. But the toys that they have there are all, like, you know, just, they're not designed for women. Whereas we went into Babes in Toyland, they have, like, the thing that gently curves around your pudendum, you know, and it has... You know, differently textured areas for the different labia and, you know, that kind of shit. That's just not in your normal porn star. Are you telling me you had that kind of stuff at your place?
I'm pretty sure we did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was a couples-oriented store. It really was. It's just that to make the bottom line, you also have all this other stuff.
Yeah, I guess Babes in Toyland makes its bottom line by catering to lesbians and you know, single women who are largely ignored by most of...
Right. So, I mean, I guess that's all... I don't know exactly what my fucking point was, but just, like, I think when we went in, you know, we said something about, like, yeah, isn't this, like, a neat porn store? But it really seemed like a fucking Britney Spears video circa 1997. It's, like, a little
creepy.
It
wasn't a porn store, though. That was the thing. There was no porn in there. The closest thing to porn was, you know, a girl's guide to anal sex.
I consider those terms interchangeable. I mean...
I don't.
But, I mean, it's a porn toy store.
It's a sex toy store.
What's the difference? Sex
porn is not sex to me.
Right. Well, that's still what I mean. I don't know. It's like Eskimo and Native. I don't give a fuck. It all means the same thing. You know?
See, it's a big important difference to me. Like a porn store. I would never go into a porn store to get anything to make me feel, you know, happy and healthy. I'd go into a sex shop.
Right.
For like. Fun stuff. Like, a porn store is where I'm going to go to get, like, whippets and gag, like, choke porn, you know? That's what I'm going to get there. Whereas I'm going to go in a sex store to get, like, nipple clamps and, you know, body wax. So any really freaky porn store stories?
Nah, it was very uneventful. It was much, much nicer than the coffee shop in every way. It really was.
The coffee
shop was full of weird junkies and people that want to fight you and just meth heads. And I wasn't there that night, but when my friend Erin was working, she said there was like this big, fat, crazy homeless lady that came in that wanted the bathrooms, and the bathrooms are both full. So she started stripping off her clothes and yelling right in the middle of the store. So it had more nudity than the porn store. I was concerned about that when I first got the porn store job. I was like, is this just going to overwhelm me with porn? I'll just become this wacky porn addict. But you just don't notice. By like the first afternoon, I hardly noticed. And by the second like full day, I just didn't even care anymore. Like, it didn't get hard from being there. It's just like, bah, just tits everywhere.
Were you worried that that was going to like desensitize you to sex in general or to porn in general?
Not worried it would desensitize me. I don't know. I'm worried that I would just spend every waking moment, you know, with my free porn at home. You know.
No, but you said like after the first afternoon, you weren't even noticing it. Were you worried like?
Oh no,
you weren't going to notice it.
No, I was just relieved that I could do my job, like, that I could compartmentalize. I still had days where, you know, I'd still get free porn movies, and I never used lube in my life because I'm not circumcised because my parents weren't fucking idiots, and. Yeah, and it was fun to try. I had never tried lube before. And I felt very sad for the circumcised folk that need that shit just to masturbate.
I'm so glad you're not circumcised.
Me too.
God. We watched a video the other day, and it was like of a baby being circumcised, and it was the most fucking awful thing. I would never be able to do that to my kid.
It just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
There's absolutely no sense. There's no reason to fucking circumcise your kid. Okay, so there's like a smaller chance of HIV infection. Wear fucking condoms.
Yeah, like, the only way I place where I think that argument even makes any sense is like if you're in Africa and it's running rampant and you're crazy and ignorant and you're not gonna try to even give a fuck.
But maybe. But then your chances.
Then why don't we just castrate them?
You know, it's not going to make that much of a difference. And if anything, it might give a false sense of security. You know, oh, I'm circumcised, so now I really don't have to pay attention to it. I really can have sex with, you know, dirty truck stop prostitutes without a condom. And pay them extra money to douche with lemon juice so that it's tighter and makes them bleed because that's sexy.
Is that your past life? Is that what you
that actually was a thing going on for a while called dry sex in Africa. It was popular.
Wait, say that again?
they would pay prostitutes to douche with chemicals like alum or like lemon juice, anything that would dry them out so that then they would have dry sex with no natural lubricant, which I can't imagine feels very good, but I guess it's more like it's like being with a virgin, or it's maybe it's because it causes pain to the woman.
Weird.
And because it makes them bleed. You know, maybe it's a power thing, but it was, I remember reading about it a lot about 5 or 6 years ago, that it was like just making the problem of AIDS transmission like 1,000 times worse.
Man. See, that's the other thing, is like these bullshit about like how, what we just read the other day about the circumcision thing of like, there is no proof that it significantly detracts from sexual blah blah.
I will tell you this right now. It is much better having sex with a circumcised man than an uncircumcised man than a circumcised man.
Well, yeah, I mean, just even
much
the way that we can have sex like 5 times in a day. That's like not possible.
Yeah, it's
because if you're not if you are circumcised, then you don't have the sheath of skin, and it just makes
it gets dried out. It gets raw.
Yeah,
like it's dry lubrication when you have that extra skin. Like it.
Like then, yeah, the natural in and out of the rhythm, the way it's supposed to be. It's like all these thousands and thousands of years of evolution, and some jerk off came and started snipping people's dicks, and that makes more sense. Sure it does.
I feel like it's something that was done to prevent people from having healthy sex life. Like that makes perfect fucking sense to me that that's what it is, especially since it's a religious thing. Like it's meant to keep you from being the full sexual being that people are meant to be.
Yeah, no question.
It's kind of like teaching girls to shave their pussies. It's like a way to make you less of what you are supposed to be, make you enjoy sex less. Like, maybe you prefer a shaved pussy. I don't think you do, but no. Like, it makes sex so much better when you don't have a shaved pussy. And I think, like, convincing men that they need to be circumcised and convincing people they need to circumcise their babies, convincing girls they need to shave their pussies, it's a way of, like, alienating you from what you're supposed to be, like, how it's supposed to be, how good it's supposed to be. Like, it's there for a reason. Leave it. Oh, leave the fucking foreskin. It's great.
Yeah, I'm with you. I remember that was one of the very few times ever that I really just, like, because that's one of the jokes with Keith and the Girl, is they always get these letters where everybody's like, I love your show till now, till you made fun of Katrina, or till whatever. And they're like, we made so many offensive comments about so many topics, and now because of this one thing offends you personally, now you're going to write me a letter? Go fuck yourself. But I do remember way back when I was still in Vancouver, so this was like back when, like, the first year of the show, I guess, Keith and Hemda were talking about that, and she's from a Jewish background and he's circumcised, and they debated it back and forth, but basically if they had a kid they would circumcise it. But the one argument that just, it, like, infuriated me is Hemda mentioned that despite all the actual pros and cons that make some kind of sense, she just didn't want her kid to look funny and to be laughed at in the, like, locker room.
What?
And I couldn't believe it. Like, you would cut your kid's dick off for that? Unbelievable. And I really think that's what it all really boils down to, because the medical arguments just don't hold up. It's just cultural. It's just...
Yeah, when I was talking in my office about my preference for uncircumcised penises. And one of the attorneys was like, and I said, like, oh, I would never circumcise my kids. You know, I think it's barbaric. I think it's awful. She's like, your kid's never going to get a blowjob. And I'm like, what? She goes, nobody's ever going to suck an uncircumcised dick. I'm like, I fucking suck an uncircumcised dick every goddamn day.
Maybe you should go track down your family tree and see how you ever got here.
You know? Well, she's Jewish, so.
Yeah, well, Jews aren't around forever. You know, that shit all started somewhere. Yeah.
I know plenty of girls that will suck an uncircumcised dick. I will volunteer.
Yeah. But only if, fellas, it's, if you really can't find someone.
If it's but only, yeah. But I just say that to prove a point. The only dick that goes in my mouth is yours.
Oh, well, thanks. That's very nice.
I may be a hoe, but I'm your hoe.
I was going to bring some friends over, but they're uncircumcised, so that's all right, right?
Well, as long as they wash the cheese out of their dick.
Yeah,
that's the other argument.
That is one of my favorite arguments, yeah. It's, like, easier to clean. Yeah, did you ever hear if you, like, completely remove all of your skin, it's easier to clean? Like, it doesn't even fucking make sense. Do you know if you shave your head, your scalp's easier to clean? Like, what do you mean? Like, just, how is it hard? How is it a problem in any way? You know, if you just, like, make a slice along both sides of your ear and yank it open and then sew it to your side of your head, you can really get a Q-tip in there. You know, like, it's fucking nonsense. So, yeah. That doesn't hold up at all. Yeah, I would definitely recommend anybody who's having a kid, definitely go on YouTube or wherever, Google video, and look up circumcisions. It's probably,
and they even say in it, like, the voiceover over the video, which I'm glad they did this, because it just underlines the horror of the situation. They're talking about how the foreskin has 20,000 to 40,000 erogenous nerves, and it provides the dynamic... dynamic movement that is necessary for proper intercourse, like all these things that it is necessary for. It's saying it as you're watching a surgeon snip skin off a screaming infant. Like,
I'm amazed
screaming.
You take that so badly. I mean, I'm the one with the dick here.
But it's like the worst screaming. Like, oh, it's like a poor little defenseless thing, and it's just like peeling the skin. Oh.
Did you hear about this? Is obviously an extreme case, but
to hold a kitten while we talk about them. I would never cut your dick off, kitten.
I heard about this on Keith and the Girl too. It's where I got all my news. But this was a couple of years ago. There's like this extreme sect of super insular Orthodox Jews. I can't remember what this specific branch of them is
herpes.
Called. Yeah, like part of the bris is to like suck the blood from the kid's dick, and this fucking rabbi ended up spreading STDs to a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm. And herpes when you're a baby I think a couple kids died because it is a serious infection. Like, you don't really, herpes is like an infection of your nerves. And if you're a little defensive baby, your entire system is just open, and a couple kids died from it.
And
from
even
herpes.
Even without that, I mean, there is still, yeah, like you can get weird blood clots, and things can go wrong, or not blood clots. Like, I don't know, just you can.
Or isn't that this, you know, like there were a couple kids that they're like, you know, they were studied for this whole transgender issue, like kids who were had circumcision mishaps. And so the penis was destroyed, basically. And then they are like, oh, we'll make you a girl. And they build the vagina. And then the kid has identity issues for the rest of its fucking life.
Yeah, that's a little fucked up. Well, that's like, I guess one argument that might hold true is, I can't remember what it's called, phimosis or something. But when your foreskin is too tight and it doesn't retract properly.
That's what my mom said over Thanksgiving when I was talking about this shit. I talk about circumcised penises and uncircumcised penises a lot. My mom was like, well, sometimes when they hit middle age, you know, the foreskin hardens down around the penis and it's very painful and they have to come in for surgery. And I'm like, well, I don't think that happens a lot.
Yeah, and even still, like, yeah, I mean, you still had a good 50 years. But there's a thing that can happen, though, when you're a kid. I can't remember what it's called, but it's, like, where there's, like, extra membranes of skin attached to your foreskin. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but apparently it's a legitimate thing. And maybe if that is the case, maybe then there's some kind of sense of circumcision. But I think you should hold off.
But circumcising all of them?
See if that's the case. Yeah, it's not like, man, I hope my kid doesn't get a deviated septum. I'm going to cut his fucking nose off. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I'm going to bust his teeth out in case he needs braces.
I'm afraid he might need glasses someday. Just pluck those babes out right now. Just fuck it. Blind him.
Because how difficult can it really be to separate the extra membrane?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, I don't know, why do I know about that? I think, like, my dad had it or something, because they were afraid I would, but I don't know.
Your penis is perfect.
I know. Thanks. So...
Now that we've talked about cock a lot.
Something's on my mind. It's been for quite some time. This time I'm on to you. So where's the other face? The face I heard before. Your head trips boring me. Chicken spud, a sign.